All right, without further ado, welcome my friends to a special edition. We ordinarily do not do impromptu live streams, but this is a little different situation tonight. As you may have already heard about the confrontation, as I'm calling it, the confrontation between President Trump and Vladimir Zelensky. I'll just cut to the chase. My punchline right up front is the headline, Zelensky is done. In my estimation, for whatever it's worth, Zelensky is done. Donald Trump in the past has, just in recent days, has labeled Zelensky a dictator. 2 to 3 times this afternoon in a televised meeting between the president and Zelensky, press in attendance in the Oval Office, in the White House, he said, you're dictating to the United States. He said that 2 or 3 times. He said, you're trying to dictate terms to the United States. So this follows on the heels of Trump calling and labeling Zelensky as a dictator a few days ago, earlier this week, not to his face, not in his presence, but to the press. So this is unprecedented. We have not, at least in my memory, and I think the memory of the press in their commentary following this confrontation, they've never seen this kind of a confrontation between the leaders of two countries. Now, it should be understood, and you already know this, that Zelensky, for I believe it's been at least 2 years, he has not been an elected president of Ukraine. His term of office ran 5 years, and then it expired. And his claim has been because they're in a wartime setting, in a wartime footing, they were not able to hold elections, free and open elections in Ukraine. This is why Donald Trump has labeled him as a dictator. The world does not, from a legal standpoint, recognize Zelensky as a legitimate leader. Therefore, in essence, the president is correct in labeling him as a dictator. From that standpoint, here is my point when I say Zelensky is done. The president has called for elections several times since he's been inaugurated, sworn in as the president of the United States. He has called for elections in Ukraine. So again, cutting to the chase here, and then I'll backfill some of this. Who possibly could replace Zelensky? Well, I did a quick search on that and came up with Newsweek just a few days ago asking the very same question. The number one candidate at this point, not a candidate for election per se, but in the eyes of most of the mainstream media, there is a general of the Ukrainian armed forces, the former commander-in-chief of the Ukrainian armed forces, Valery Zaluznyi. Okay, I don't speak Ukrainian or Russian. Valery, of course, V-A-L-E-R-Y, spelling his last name, Z-A-L, U-Z-H-N-Y. He was removed by Zelensky from his defense position in February of 2024, and he is now the ambassador of Ukraine to the United Kingdom. So, I agree that, and his name has been floated in the media, alternative and mainstream, over the last several weeks, Zaluznyi. Of According to Newsweek, tensions between Zaluzhny and Zelensky had been simmering for months before he was removed from his post. The pair are reported to have clashed over the general's war strategies and the challenge of mass mobilization. All right, so stepping away from that report, why do I expect Zelensky to be replaced? Well, the question really then is, who's going to replace him? I believe it will be this General Zaluzhny, whatever his name is, the ambassador to the United Kingdom. I think he is going to, at the behest of the U.S. State Department, using back channels between the U.S. State Department and the equivalent in Ukraine, and the CIA and their back channels to their equivalent in Ukraine, we could see by tomorrow a new leader of Ukraine. I believe this general is going to be put in position. It will be announced to the world that he is temporarily assuming command of the Ukrainian government as well as the Ukrainian military, whatever's left of it. The reason that I think that this coup, and that's really what it is going to take place, is because of the anger of President Trump. Zelensky demonstrated to the world through the eyes of the press that he's not a diplomat, that he does not know the steps involved in diplomacy, negotiation, signing of agreements, and then leading to the signing of a ceasefire and perhaps a peace accord. You see, Zelensky was trying to leapfrog the diplomatic process that we were witnessing the president and the vice president, J.D. Vance, trying almost to educate in front of the cameras, educate Zelensky, and that really, I think, that process started with J.D. Vance. Educate him that, wait, we're talking about a minerals agreement here. What Zelensky was trying to do was back the president into a guarantee to provide security to Ukraine. President Trump already said yesterday and the day before, he said a minerals agreement would in essence provide security to Ukraine, because he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think this is pretty close, he said, nobody's going to mess with us, meaning the United States, when the United States enters into Ukraine for the purpose of mining these minerals. And the president has made it very clear, no U.S. military boots on the ground. And he has said no European boots on the ground, despite what France and Great Britain are trying to do in terms of peacekeeping forces. He knows that Putin will never agree to that. And Putin has already said that. It's a non-starter in terms of negotiating a minerals agreement. And that's all that this was. That was step one. And the president and vice president were making it very clear, no, we're not talking about a securities agreement yet. That comes later. It's implied that with a minerals agreement, that when we bring our civilians in, there will be security in Ukraine. Primarily security for these workers, these miners, and so forth. But Zelensky kept trying to back him into a corner. Now, many people already have been analyzing and talking about what has been said, and much more will be said tonight and tomorrow. I'm not going to try to parse what was said and make comment on it. Leave it to everybody else to say that. What I want to do literally here is to give you my expectation, which is what we do so often here. My expectation is for an immediate coup overnight to take place. Zelensky, I said on Tuesday in our live stream, expectations, U.S., Ukraine, and Russia. Remember, I was talking about friendly relations between Putin and Trump, sitting down on the same side of the table, sharing lists of assets, collaborating with each other, that whole dialogue. It was a thought experiment, wearing rose-colored glasses. I said in Tuesday's live stream about Zelensky, I said he's irrelevant. He's already irrelevant. Then he walks into the White House today, into the Oval Office. Now he is truly irrelevant, to the extent that now there will be a coup, he will be replaced. He will be replaced by Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, you don't have any cards to play. And Zelensky said under his breath, leaning over at the president, and he said, I'm not playing cards. And Trump repeated it. You only have the cards to play, I'm paraphrasing, because we gave them to you. We put you in power. We made you the strong man. We gave you this. You should be showing more respect, more gratitude, thanking us, et cetera, et cetera. Again, I'm going to leave the others to parse all of that. But the important point here is that Trump said, you are trying to start World War III. And I think he said that three times. You are trying to start, or you will, or you are about to. In other words, he's saying what you're doing here, trying to back us into a security agreement, could lead to World War III rather than peace. He's trying to tell them, shut up, back down. You don't understand the implications of what you're trying to back us into the corner to agree to. We are not going to be backed into the corner. And then he said, you're trying to dictate to the United States. He said, you're not going to dictate to us. You're not going to tell us. Okay, so again, I'm trying to give you my, not so much parsing the words and then trying to describe it, even though I just did that. I want to lead to the point here, and that is the president is absolutely correct. Zelensky is trying to continue the war, trying to force the U.S. to continue to send money and materiel and to put boots on the ground. This is in complete opposition to what Putin has said for 3 years. No Western forces in Ukraine. Ukraine needs to be demilitarized, denazified, needs to be a neutral state, and cannot be a member of NATO. Again, Zelensky's trying to back the United States into granting membership in NATO for Ukraine. All of these things that I just listed would lead to World War III. Putin has said as much. There will be no NATO. There will be no military. There will be no Nazis. There will be no state of Ukraine as a Western ally. It must be neutral. Those are the criteria that he has laid out for years now. And yet what we just witnessed here was Zelensky saying completely the opposite. So understanding what the president said, he was warning him, you could cause World War III by what you're demanding, by your actions, by your attitude. I think Zelensky is completely out of his mind. You talk about delusional. I said to Kathleen, I was imagining as we're watching all of this unfolding, I could imagine the Secret Service detail standing there. Probably a couple of 6'5" guys, close to 300 pounds and all muscle, just about ready to leap over the couch and grab Zelensky. I mean, Zelensky was nearly threatening the President of the United States. We haven't seen this before. Now, yes, we could, you know, we could say things like, oh, this is all theater, as I have said, you know, this is all pre-scripted, you know, they're just role-playing here. I think this was truly delusional behavior on the part of Zelensky. And I think Trump was as caught off guard by what unfolded, because there was 30 minutes of diplomatic discussion that led up to this heated exchange. Zelensky was escorted by the Secretary of State, Mark Rubio, and I forget who the other person was, but escorted out of the Oval Office, out of the White House, ushered to his limousine, to his armored SUV. Not his, it's obviously U.S. He is scheduled at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Fox News with Bret Baier. I don't know if that's going to take place or not. It doesn't really matter. Anything Zelensky says at this point is just going to dig a deeper hole for himself. I would not be surprised if that word gets from the White House to Fox and say, cancel this. This is too provocative. Meaning, again, Zelensky's words, behavior could provoke a war, a wider war than what is going on in Ukraine. Now, I will defend Putin here because I don't think Putin would fall for that. I don't think World War III. But it's the image. It's the picture that is painted by Zelensky's behavior that I think the president really wants to tamp down, doesn't want to give him any more airtime. Because I think as soon as the cameras were turned off, I'm sure there were still heated words going on in the Oval Office, but I think very quickly, once Zelensky was escorted out of there, that what I just said, State Department back channels, CIA back channels, the word going to this general in Ukraine and his people. While Zelensky's out of the country, bring on a change of leadership. If you want to call it a coup, that's fine. But for the sake of the Ukrainian people, that needs to be done, in my opinion. Zelensky needs to be removed. Remember, as I said at the beginning, he is an illegitimate leader. Therefore, he's not a leader. He legally has no voice for the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian state. Even if he entered into a signed agreement for minerals and all of that, even a peace accord, legally speaking, his voice, his signature means nothing. So already by his behavior, that's a soft coup right there. Zelensky just sealed his own fate. So I don't think it'll come as a surprise to any of you, now that we're sitting here discussing this ahead of time, as an expectation. I don't think it'll be a surprise when we hear, maybe late tonight, maybe tomorrow, we'll hear that this general has been installed. And again, pardon my pronunciation, it's terrible. Valery Zaluzhny, Zaluzhny. Go ahead and look him up. I think he is going to be installed temporarily, by his own words, I think. He will declare, this is temporary. until we can hold elections. Now, you can appreciate the logistics of trying to hold elections while there's a war going on. So, what could happen? This general legitimately, yes, he's not elected, but he is part of the government as an ambassador. He was part of the military. I think he would be welcomed and regarded on the world stage from a legal standpoint as a legitimate temporary leader for the purpose of entering into a ceasefire with Putin, brokered by Trump. I think at this point, Putin already is expecting a phone call, if it hasn't happened already, from Trump to Putin saying, look, I want to tell you what's going on. There's going to be a coup. This is who we're helping into a position as a temporary leader. We would like, with this new leader, to enter immediately into a ceasefire and begin negotiations for peace. I think that is a legitimate expectation between Trump and Putin. Because Trump literally is concerned that there could be a rogue element. We have to take this into consideration. A rogue element in Ukraine. A mixture of oligarchs, a mixture of radical Nazi, ultra-right wing elements, and military in Ukraine that might want to overthrow Zelensky, put in their own person, and perhaps trigger an even worse conflict with Russia. Doing something completely irrational is possible if Trump doesn't move quickly in his discussions with Putin. It's also to warn Putin, and I'm sure Putin's already moved three steps ahead on the chessboard before he even gets a phone call from Trump, but I think this works well for Trump to be able to bridge the gap with Putin and say, we're going to put our own guy in. I think you agree, you know, he's somebody you can work with. This will be temporary. We need peace so that we can get elections started in Ukraine. Now, no doubt, the U.S. is going to install someone who is a puppet person friendly to the West, but a person also that is amenable to Putin. We wouldn't put somebody in that's a staunch adversary to Ukraine. That doesn't work for the art of the deal. So it will be someone, if it isn't this general, who may in fact be elected. Once there's a ceasefire, elections, this general may be the new leader of Ukraine. Someone that Putin, in agreement with Trump, says, yeah, I can work with that guy. But it goes back to what I said on Tuesday and repeated here a moment ago. Zelensky has been irrelevant. I think it was just a courtesy that he was even in Washington, even in the Oval Office. It was a courtesy on the part of the president and the vice president to even meet with him because they know he's illegitimate. They know he's a dictator. But they had, for the sake of image, optics, as it's called, they had to at least appear that they were trying to work with Zelensky to bring peace, starting with a minerals agreement that would then move to the next step in the diplomatic chain of events. There never would have been a security agreement. We already have provided enough security, Trump is saying. We've done enough. Now we need to bring peace. the only two parties involved in brokering a peace deal has always been Trump and Putin. So Zelensky is done. There's probably more I could say. I'm going to continue to stay on top of this, Kathleen and myself. If there is a interview with Bret Baier on Fox tonight, if that actually does happen, we'll try to watch that. If we don't have mainstream television here, so we'll try to do what we can. But I'm sure it'll be replayed afterwards. The point is we'll pay attention to this. I won't do another live stream tonight unless World War III breaks out. But I thought this was important enough. It was unique enough of an event, and it has significant consequences for the entire world. And the behavior was just so out of character for all parties involved that we needed to bring this to your attention. I knew you already knew about it, but I just needed to get it off my chest. Zelensky is irrelevant. Zelensky is done. There's going to be a coup. I think it will be over night to night. And I think elections are on the horizon. I think a ceasefire is imminent. Probably while Trump is in Mar-a-Lago this weekend. Could very well be that Putin will agree. Yeah, let's do a ceasefire. We've got open dialogue. We're making the right moves. Change of leadership in Ukraine. Now we've got something we can work with. A person, temporary leader we can work with. Putin's going to agree. Yeah, legitimate elections. Let's do it. And that also calms down the European countries who are just rabid about still believing with a Cold War mentality that Russia is still an aggressor, still wants to take over Europe. There's no evidence of that. I think this will calm down the European countries. It's not going to make the leaders, the EU leaders and the NATO leaders, it's not going to make, let's say, Britain, France, Germany, it's not going to make them happy if there's a ceasefire. I'm talking about the leaders. The people of Europe want peace. It's the politicians that are the problem. I think when a ceasefire is achieved, that's going to put them back on their heels, the European leaders. They know they have no opportunity to put boots on the ground with a ceasefire. And that will be the understanding that Putin conveys to Trump. He's going to say, Trump, make sure you get those European leaders under control. I don't want to hear about boots on the ground. There better not be any arms, any more money going to Ukraine. Nothing. It stops now. I think that conversation has already taken place. I think we just witnessed the end of the conflict in Ukraine. Thank you for your time tonight. We'll keep you posted as things unfold, and let's pray for peace. God bless you all.